That song. Good to be here. Good to see you. Brother Ray and Sister Joyce made it with us. Brother Ray and Sister Joyce, they didn't know it, I don't think, till right at the last minute or whatever time, but we were invited over to their house. We didn't know if they would welcome us or not, but anyhow, you ought to go over there every night. They serve some pretty good food over there, so go over there. Probably after a while, we could go over there. Y'all prepared? Okay, good. They're prepared. Good to see them. Good to be in the house. Good to see everybody. I appreciate you being here. We got a lot to be thankful for. We really do. We got a lot to be thankful for. Remember all of our sick folks. I didn't announce this morning, Brenda's not feeling well, and you pray for her. Brenda's kind of, she has a little bit of heart condition, and that kind of messes with you sometimes. So you pray for Brenda. Remember all the others. I know I miss them, seeing them, and I know you do the same. So I appreciate you praying for them. Remember services Wednesday night and business meeting. Turn your Bible to the book of Romans. Book of Romans. One day this week, began to study in this particular section. It's the fifth chapter. And it just seemed like the more and more and more began to speak more and more to my heart. This is old scripture, as we like to call it. I like it. I won't be able to give it justice tonight because there's just too much, and I'm not going to go into every place I'd like to go. A lot of times in studying, you get to do, let's say, 20 things, but you only may not get used but a couple. But you sure like studying them 20, and it's a wonderful thing. And this is one of them. The fifth chapter of the book of Romans, and there's many, many times you go in the book of Romans. But I want to read one particular verse, And that'll be verses number 14. It starts out with the word, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. May we pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow, God, we thank you, Lord, for what a joy it is to be back. Thank you, God, for the fellowship, the songs. Thank you, God, for the privilege that we can all gather together. Thank you, Lord, that you'll be with us when two or three are gathered together. God, when we come to worship you, God, it just gives us the strength for our week. And I pray, God, you'll help us day by day. Thank you for this word. Lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Not has nothing to really basically to do with the message, but this is the terminology that you get. The first Adam and that second Adam. This is where you get that particular from. What I want to talk about is in the beginning part of it, that verse. It starts out with, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. That is a statement that we read that the apostle was giving us some information on. Now, we had to think a little bit about that because we have a lot of things that God has done for us, in us, and through us. One of the things that happened when man was created, when God made man, God didn't make man with death. Now, we take it for granted. We live through life and death. But when God made man, he didn't make man with death. He just breathed, and that breathing in them, man became a living soul. And that living soul was intended, and guess what, is still intended to live forever. It's not going to stop. But the thing of it was, Adam and Eve in the garden, in the day that you eat thereof, we know it, in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to surely die. Did they comprehend death? Never seen it before? Hadn't been around it? No one in their family had ever died? If you've never been around somebody that died, you don't know. When you was a kid growing up and you go to a funeral, you didn't understand. Listen, God pronounced death. And I'm going to use terminology, but I want you to kind of grab it. Death was created. It was made. All of a sudden, death, boom, there's death. Now, we know in the Bible, so there's many, many things. There's many, many times that death has come and actually hurt things. If we go to the one of the famous ones, the Passover, where that firstborn child, man, there were the Egyptians, man, they understood what death was on that night, didn't it? It went and hit multiple house after house after house. Friend, when death comes to us, it may be sporadic. But when it comes to every house, boy, all of a sudden, and there's a lot of, if you don't understand death and what it is and what it's all about, man, it can be troubling. But God said there's going to be death. And the scripture here reads that it rained. Use the terminology, it rained from Adam to Moses. I mean, the timing from Adam to Moses, it was kind of like, can it be supreme? Can it be dominant? Can it be the thing that drives? Listen, death, when God made death, God pronounced death upon all human race. Not one, not Jews, not Gentiles. Well, wouldn't it have been good for God to say, oh, if you're a Gentile, boy, we're just going to wipe you out. Because religion, in the Bible days, Gentiles were dogs. I mean, they were the low. It'd been easy to take, well, I'll go, guess what? Death will come to your enemies. That wouldn't work because God said for us to love our enemies. God made a pronouncement that covered every single one. And we could look at the other side of that and we could say, yeah, because of sin, because of man's sin, that was the reason. But death just didn't come. Death was in authority. Death all of a sudden hit every single home. There is only limited people that have ever escaped this world without dying. Limited. We just can't go through the alphabet and find 100. We actually understand God made a way. But God made a way for that one, and just like God will make a way, and it could happen that many folks might not see death, or won't see death, when the rapture takes place. Now, when the rapture takes place, friend, there's going to be a whole bunch. We hope there's a whole bunch going on that day. They're going to avoid death. But let me stay on the subject. What does it mean, and what is the power? How come we look at death reigning, controlling? Earlier in that chapter, just a couple of verses up, look at 12. This is what we know. Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered. As why one man's sin entered. What did it enter? It entered into the entire world. Why didn't it just enter Adam? Why do I have to pay for what Adam did? Why is it my kinfolks? Why do I have to suffer for my kinfolks? Friend of mine, when you disobey God, a portion of that disobedience, all of a sudden God says it'll pass down in you and through you. When that death come and reign, it become all of a sudden superior. God will not go against His word. God put death in superior to man's fleshly human side and caused that to happen to everyone. I wish I could figure out a way to get around it, but I can't. I wish I knew an antidote that you could take a pill and all of a sudden death that doesn't have a power. I could look at the verses and I could say, well, there's got to be an answer. There's got to be a way. There's got to be something that you can avoid this. Death is greater than me. It's greater. It's stronger. It's more powerful. It has ability that no matter how much I could go to these weight rooms, these fitness centers, and I could get in the best physical condition I could possibly be in, and death come calling, I'm gone. It looks like there ought to be I know what I'll do. I'll get an education. I'll go to every college in the world. I'll get double doctorates. I'll be the smartest man in the world. Death come calling, I'm gone. There's not a thing in this world that anybody can take over death and grab a hold of death and defeat it. Friend, I got news for you. We thought the devil was strong. He is. He prince of power of the air. But friend, God give power to death to rule over every one of us that are in this flesh. We can't avoid it. We can't hide from it. We can't outwork it, outthink it, outdo it. Death is following us. So it reigned. It's in power. It's in control. We just might as well close up shop then. Well, hang on just a little bit. These were some of my favorite verses, and I began to look at all the references and look up references concerning this death, and this is the one that kind of I like a lot. But listen to this. I am he that liveth and was dead. Somehow or another, this fellow that I'm reading about don't call his name in this particular verse, but he said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive. He adds some words in there. I am alive forevermore. Now, if you hadn't figured out who that was, I was reading Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. It happened to be in red letters. If that don't give you enough clue, John, the revelator, saw and was able to hear from God, and the Lord told him, says, I was dead. I was dead. Now, we all talk about Calvary. We like to talk about that. We all talk about that whenever he died. But I got news for you. The power over death had to come when Jesus was in a body like this. It had to be in a body. Because, friend, the devil would have a heyday. A heyday. If God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, if they didn't follow the Word. We take this for granted. We think that we can make our own rules. God's Word will stand. And when Jesus said, I was dead, but not anymore. I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore. Now, we know that. We know he's the victor over it. We know that death doesn't reign over Jesus. It reigns over us. If I just stand here and wait and wait and wait, one day death will come and take me. I got to read these two. You know it well, but I got to read it because I love this part right here, because here's what it's going to accomplish to the world. The 21st chapter in verses 4 says this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. And it goes on to say other things, but no more death. This is the end. This is the, you know what that means so much? Right now, yes. Right now, we got a reigning death. Powerful, strong. But friend of mine, God has given us a little insight, letting us look through the hourglass, through the eyes of being able to get a focus on a little bit in the future. And whenever this takes place, in time-wise, it could be, let me get it figured up, 1,007 years, we're going to find that there's going to be a time when God says, no more. Or we could say crying, weeping, sorrow. But he lists that one first. Friend, I want to tell you, it's more powerful than we realize. When Jesus said, I was dead, and I'm alive. You know what makes a little bit more sense? If Jesus said, guess what, y'all? I'm alive. How are you going to get there? What if God was selfish and says, guess what? I'm going. How about you? But right now, in this particular spot, it's wiped out. Verse 4, chapter 1, 24, verse 4. But look at verses. You don't even have to turn. You know what I'm going to read. What verses 8 says this. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, and adulterers, and all liars, they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And then he brings up something that we'd never really quite understood or heard. A second death. A second death. Now, a second death has got to be greater than this first death. This first death will happen to every human being. There's only so few exceptions. Every human being. But that second death is only for a particular few. See, when death reigns and when death is supreme power, God is in control. He says, here, because of sin, this is what God's going to do. I have to look at it from the eyes of what God said. I have to go back to what we call the redemption or salvation's plan. The redemption that God paid for us was He shed His blood that me and you might have life. Now I got life. I breathe. I got life. But that's not the life He's talking about. If I live for the Lord all the rest of my days that God gives me, friend, that's going to be a wonderful thing. It's a blessing to live for God. It's a blessing every day to be able to live for God. But that is not the life. Well, I can say, that's the life that I now live, and I live it by the Son of Man. And boy, that's a wonderful testimony. But the great part is God takes my life a little bit different. Why is this important? Why is it important for us to know that Christ is not supreme now? He is, but He's more supreme in the future. You see, I and look at things in life and say, well, God's in control. But you know when I really give Him control? It's when I close my eyes in death. And I put Him in charge. Never have been much to enjoy airplanes. Oh, I can ride them. I get bored on them. Never have liked it. You know why? I'm not the driver. I don't like it. Every time I get on one, I make sure I'm gazing around that little side where I can see up there in that front before they close that door. And if I see a youngster up there, I say, oh, Lord. And if I see one up there that looks like me, they got too much gray hair, it's another, oh, Lord. I need the perfect pilot to be middle-aged and walk real good and be in good physical condition. Otherwise, Lord, please let this guy live at least until we get to the ground. Why is that? We don't like to be out of control. But the moment we die, we're not in control. Death takes over. But here's the difference. When death wants to grab us, there's a little old bitty verse in the Bible that says, O death, where is thy sting? Now this afternoon, right before church, in my suit and tie, I have to go out to our backyard there, and I have a battle with yellow jackets. I really do. I have my trusty can. And as soon as I spray, I'm running like a dog. Didn't get stung. Not that time. Because I've been stung earlier is the reason why I run. Now that's the truth. It would have been a good video. It really would. But I'll guarantee you, yesterday when I was spraying, I would spray and run. It's just that I don't mind doing it in a suit of clothes. Watch this. When I die, Charlene's going to put me in a suit of clothes, I'm sure. I hope. And whenever they close that casket, I'm going to be the best looking dead person in that casket as long as nobody else is in there. But you know what? Death will have won until. And all of a sudden, it's fixing to be like a bee sting. It's fixing to get me, and I want to flinch, but I'm dead, and I can't flinch, and I can't run. You know what happens? Christ intervenes and takes away that sting of death. It is no longer in charge. Oh, it did. It was in charge. But it's not any longer. The power of God is so strong because Jesus, while in this mortal body, paid the sin debt for every human person that is ever going to be born. But it's only the redeemed that will have death sting removed. Every other person will face the sting of death, and death will conquer them. Remember, death is stronger and greater than me and you, but not God. Oh, not God, because when we look at this particular verse and it calls this the second Adam situation, when we look at that, friend, when there's only keys to Revelation. I didn't finish the verse, but Revelation says that there's keys to hell. Yeah, oh, we can grab that, can't we? There's keys to hell. But there's also, he used the terminology keys. If he'd said there's a key of hell, I could figure that one out. But when he says there's keys of death and of hell. So let's just use that. In my pocket, I got a car key and a house key. Okay? All right? One operates one operates the other. One don't operate, vice versa. Okay? Friend of mine, hell was going to be locked. And it's not going to be opened because of what Jesus did for me. Death is going to be locked because of what Jesus did for me. Now, what in this world did I do to deserve that? What did I do? Oh, man, I was a preacher. That helps. I can go to heaven because I was a preacher. Not according to Matthew. Well, I can go to heaven because I work good like a church member. Nah, not according to Matthew. You can work. You can do the best you can do and die and go to hell. What it really means is to go to where the Lord will allow you to go and to be where God allows you to be. You trust in Him and He does it all. He takes my sins, cast them as far as the east is from the west. He takes my soul. Whenever I die, He just carries me Himself because I don't know the way, and He knows the way. What He's done for me, I don't get myself to heaven. He carries me to heaven. I don't worry about what life or death brings. I just have to know that He has redeemed my sinful soul, and I'm going to heaven regardless of what man has to say. Death is coming, but doesn't have a victory. We sing a wonderful song. 120, if you don't know it. But it's victory in Jesus. That's where my victory's at. It didn't say victory in old brother Tally. Boy, howdy. It ain't victory in you. It's victory in Jesus. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. And the only thing's kind of slowing things down is death. If he'd just hurry up and come get me, the Lord will zoom me on up just right there. What is it? It's appointed unto men once to die after this judgment. We're going to have to make that appointment, but I'm glad it's not the last appointment. Brother Greg, a song of invitation. I don't know your heart or your life. I know the Lord. And that's what counts to me, is knowing that he is in charge. He has the keys. He is once was dead, and now he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. It ain't just a part-time life. It's an eternal life. And I'm glad it was paid for by him for my sins. And I'm thankful for that. May we stand and sing a verse of a song? 350. If you need to come, you come and pray. But if not, you just pray one for another that we'll do what God would have us to do. And let our life be a light all around us.